right, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert for Tuesday, February 16th. We're going to go right now to our gospel preview for Sunday. We always like to give you a little preview of what you're going to hear Father preach about on Sunday, and Mark is going to read the gospel this morning. Go ahead, Mark.
I will. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. If someone wants to go to the law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Mark, I use this gospel occasionally when people say, how come bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
Or, you know, how could God let that happen? Well, Jesus explains it pretty clearly when he says, you know, you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, because the Father makes the sun rise on the bad and the good and causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And most of the problems that we say, how could God let that happen, for the most part, are man-made problems.
Absolutely.
You know, the terrorist attack of 9/11, people say, if God was there, how could he let that happen? Well, God gave us free will.
Exactly.
He gave all people free will, even those who would want to harm us by getting on a jetliner and flying it into a building. You know, God gave us that gift of free will, and those people used it, obviously, in a very evil manner, but God makes the sun rise and set on the good and the bad.
Well, that goes back to the first reading of last week's gospel, Dave, from Sirach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice. You have a choice. Accept the commandments, follow the commandments, it's your choice. And that was the epitome of free will.
Well, we want to remind everybody that Mark and I are not priests or ministers. We're lay people just having a discussion on what key words kind of pop out to us in the gospel.
Well, let me tell you what scares me by looking just on word for word what was in the gospel today. And that is that be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that is frightening to all of us, to be perfect.
Yeah.
But let me give you a scenario. If you want a job, a particular job, very, very badly, don't you kind of learn as much as you can about that job before you go into that interview?
Yeah, you should.
And don't you think of ways to throw in the fact that you've had the initiative to learn that during the course of the interview and your answers to impress the interviewers?
Right.
And don't you also dress impeccably to go in for that interview and groom yourself impeccably and sit with a great posture and make great eye contact and throw your best foot forward so you can get that job, which is so important to you? Hey, if we can do that and perform perfectly and prepare ourselves to perform perfectly to get that job we want so bad, hey, I don't know about the rest of you, but I think I want to be in heaven. I know I want to be in heaven for all eternity. I can perform perfectly to do that if I want it bad enough.
Yep. And on those occasions when we are imperfect, at least we have
I got
the
some
mercy.
Experience with that.
We have the mercy of God and
That's
the
right.
sacrament of reconciliation to
exactly.
help us get back on track.
And when you walk out of that room, you are impeccable.
Yeah.
You are clean as the day you were baptized.
Sanctifying grace.
Yeah, except for the stain. And then you got to work on those stains.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll take a little break here, and we'll come back with the community calendar and closing prayer. And who knows what else we'll have.
We'll throw something in.
Who knows who else might stop in this
morning. Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back.
WDCR, Orianna, Decatur.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Sunday, January 22nd at 2 p.m. marks the opening of the preliminary phase of the Diocesan Synod with a prayer service at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Springfield. In the months ahead during this calendar year of 2017, our Diocesan Synod will consider how we can make a communal commitment as a diocesan community of clergy and laity regarding discipleship and stewardship as a way of life. Closely related to this will be for us to look at how we can foster community-wide support of Catholic education so that more students will be able to attend Catholic schools. It is fitting that we give greater consideration to the importance of Catholic education as we celebrate Catholic Schools Week from January 29th to February 4th. The theme for the National Catholic Schools Week 2017 is Catholic Schools, Communities of Faith, Knowledge, and Service. The theme encompasses several concepts that are at the heart of a Catholic education. First, schools are communities, small families in their own right, but also members of the larger community of home, church, city, and nation. Faith, knowledge, and service are three measures by which any Catholic school can and should be judged. Schools typically observe the annual celebration week with masses, open houses, and other activities for students, families, parishioners, and community members. Through these events, schools focus on the value Catholic education provides to young people and its contributions to our church, our communities, and our nations. As part of these Catholic Schools Week observances, I will celebrate an all-schools mass for Decatur area schools at Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Decatur on Tuesday, January 31st at 10 a.m. Later that day at 12:30 p.m., I will do a video chat with students of our seven Catholic high schools in our diocese. On Wednesday, February 1st at 10:30 a.m., I will be at St. Boniface Parish in Edwardsville for mass with St. Boniface School, followed by visiting the students in their classrooms. On Thursday, February 2nd at 1:20 p.m., I will celebrate Mass for the students of Marquette Catholic High Schools and the local Catholic grade schools at St. Mary Church in Alton. I have been personally blessed to have experienced Catholic education at a variety of Catholic schools during my lifetime. In all of my experiences of Catholic education, as a student, teacher, pastor, and bishop, I have been edified by the dedication of the faculty, benefactors, parishioners, parents, and students whose hard work and sacrifices make our Catholic schools the great treasure that they are. At the same time, our Catholic schools face some significant challenges, not the least of which is financial. When I was in grade school, the religious sisters were essentially volunteer labor, working for a small stipend along with room and board in the parish convent. As the number of religious sisters teaching our Catholic schools diminished over the years, they have been replaced by lay teachers, who willingly make the sacrifice of working for a lower salary than their public school counterparts, but who still must be paid a just wage. As these labor costs have increased, so has the tuition. Even though our parishes subsidize a sizable portion of the per-student cost of education, the financial burden for parents has risen substantially. The downside of this increased financial cost of Catholic schools is what I call a consumer mentality of Catholic education. By that, I mean looking at Catholic education as a product that parents buy for their children. But even public schools are not funded that way. Everyone pays taxes for public schools, whether they have children in the schools or not, because education of the young is everyone's civic responsibility. Similarly, Catholic education must be seen not just as the financial burden of the parents who send their children to Catholic schools, but rather as the responsibility of the entire Catholic community to hand on the Catholic faith to the next generation of believers. The challenge of how to do that will be an important topic for our Diocesan Synod. Please pray that the Holy Spirit will guide the discussions of our Synod and that God will bless the future well-being of our Catholic schools. Another observance that we should note is the week of prayer for Christian unity from January 18th to 25th. The theme of this year's week of prayer for Christian unity is Reconciliation, the love of Christ compels us. As this year marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation begun by Martin Luther, we pray for healing of the subsequent deep divisions which afflicted the Church, so that all may be one, as Christ our Lord wishes. May God give us this grace. Amen.
I got some things here ready before we get started.
Okay. Mark, I'm sitting here at the Bloodmobile at St. Pat's, and I have been pre-registered, and I'm all set to go here. The process was pretty simple when I got here. They simply took me into a cubicle at the back of the Bloodmobile. And this thing's amazing. You remember how our command post was with the city. This is similar to that, but it has four stations in it, or beds, I guess you could call them, where you sit and relax with your feet raised while you donate your blood. And a nice technician named Michelle has been helping me go through the registration process, which probably took 5 or 10 minutes, other than the fact that we got to shoot in the breeze, as we always do, you and I, and so it might have taken just a few minutes longer. So I'm in position here. I've got the rubber ball in my hand, and I have the pressure cuff on for my blood pressure, and I'm getting ready to donate my pint of blood to the Central Illinois Regional Blood Center, which is the blood center that gives all the blood to the local HSHS hospitals, DMH, and most of the hospitals in the area. Now, we're running off a generator in here, and there's some music and fans going, so I'm hoping that the audio is coming through okay for you. And I'm going to squeeze the ball now, and Michelle's giving me hand signals since I'm talking on the radio. And they're going to find the just the perfect vein to draw my blood.
Are you okay with chloro prep? Yeah, I'm going to alcohol scrub.
Yes, I sure am. And we're sterilizing the area.
Let that go. Don't move it.
So we know where to put the needle in to draw my blood. I am a type O positive blood. And I don't think that's the universal one. The O negative is the universal, right? Okay. But I have seen, and I think Mindy was telling us the other day, there's been some O crisis lately. So I'm happy to be able to donate this pint that's going to go locally here to St. Mary's, St. John's, DMH, all the local hospitals. So I've been sitting here now in the seat for a couple minutes. I got my 30-second sterilization of my arm. And I think we're getting ready for the donation to begin. Okay. Now, I've given blood in the past, probably upwards of a gallon over the years, but it's been a few years since I've given, and I knew that there was a need, and that during Catholic Schools Week, St. Teresa and St. Patrick's are both doing blood collections, so that's what brought me down here today. I've seen a lot of people in here that I know from school and church that have donated, and they should all be very proud of what they're doing for such a great cause.
Okay. You're not a watcher, you can look the other
way. No, I'm going to watch.
Oh, great. All right.
Well, I can take anything but pain.
Relax.
All right, just tell me when.
All right. You're not going to do anything right now, but relax.
Oh, okay. Is it in there?
It's in there.
Wow, so that was pretty good, Mark. It wasn't even like a flu shot. So I guess I'm pumping away. And you know, it's such a vital thing for people to give blood, for whether it's surgeries or emergencies. And the blood stock has an expiration date on it. After so long, if the blood hasn't been used, they have to restock those shelves and keep a fresh blood flow coming into the blood banks. So anybody that has considered giving blood, especially during Catholic Schools Week or any other time, it's just a good thing to do. It's the gift of life, as we always talk about. And they haven't come up with any way yet to make blood other than to have people donate. So,
can I squeeze every 5 to 10 seconds?
Okay.
You're off and running.
And I'm off and running. Good.
They can also give credit to your school here.
Oh, okay.
They come in to donate. If they donate elsewhere, they can give credit to your school.
All right. Michelle's telling me that if you donate somewhere else and you want to donate it to a specific school or a specific cause where they've had a blood bank. Now, I know the goal here at St. Patrick's for this blood drive was 20 pints. And when I signed up on Monday, I was told that I was the 19th person to sign up as a donor. So we're hoping that maybe there was another one or two that came after me that are donating their blood at this drive. You know, sometimes you come in and there's circumstances beyond your control where you can't donate. Some sort of deficiency in your blood, or maybe your blood pressure, maybe you have a temperature, and they do not risk taking your blood if you're not feeling well or if you don't meet those standards. And they check that. They did a little finger stick on me, and those things have improved so much I didn't feel that either. So, you know, the way to keep these shelves stocked is to donate blood through the Central Illinois Community Blood Center. Okay, now, since I'm pumping away, I'm going to just take a little break until I'm done, and then I'll let you know what happens then. You know, I'm wondering, I know that people come and donate blood, but all of these supplies have to cost a lot of money. How does the blood bank itself raise money to take care of the bags and the tubes and the personnel and all that? Okay.
I'm not sure how that works. I'm sure there's a cost associated with the hospitals purchasing it or something. I'm not sure. It's not a big cost, but I'm not sure exactly how that works or the cost, how we eat the cost.
Well, I was just wondering if somebody couldn't give blood, if they could make a monetary donation to help offset, you know, some of the supplies, or...
I don't know.
We'll have to find out. I'll ask Mindy about that. Because I know the blood, when it's given to someone, it, you know, the hospital charges them. So maybe there's a reimbursement for the collection stuff.
It's a lot more than the cost associated with us.
Yeah. Well, I've always been lucky to be a donor and never a recipient. But if the time ever comes, you know, it's good to know that there's a good supply and that it's come from a very healthy source. All right, Mark, I filled up my bag. I'm not sure if it's a pint or how much it is.
Yes,
it's a pint. And how much does a pint of blood weigh, Michelle?
Well, this is 530 milliliters is what you got in your bag.
Well, good. That's a big start on my New Year's resolution to lose weight. I lost a pint of blood.
1 pound is what you lose when you lose
it. It was really painless. I kid you not. They take great care of you here. My experience has been really, really good. I've enjoyed it. Michelle's been pleasant to talk to. We'll get Mindy back with us one of these days. And the next time we have something in the area, they're just now removing. Well, they've already removed it. I missed it. It's amazing. Now, I know I need to keep pressure on this so I don't get a bruise. And, yep. So, Mark, all in all, it looks like it took almost 8 minutes of airtime to go through this, what actually took about 40 minutes. So, you know, for those of you that have thought about it, I highly suggest that you donate blood. It's quick and it's virtually painless. And I'll be back in the studio right after this to talk to Mark about what's next on the agenda. For the Cradle of Convert, this is Dave Slade at the Bloodmobile at St. Patrick's. And I'll talk to you in a minute. Okay, welcome back. We're going to take care of a little business here. We have a very short community calendar today, which is good, Mark, because yep. We kind of rattled and prattled on, didn't we?
Yeah.
Tell me what you got.
Okay, HSHS St. Mary's Hospital is going to hold a driver safety program. It's going to be in Conference Room 561 on Monday, March 6th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and lunch is provided, folks. It's a classroom refresher basically geared towards motorists 50 years of age or over. You can learn how to avoid driving hazards. There are no tests involved in it, and there is a $20 fee for non-members of a retirement group. So call
that
Margie.
That we're not going to mention?
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about it. Right. To register, please call Margie at 464-2046. That's Margie at 464-2046. 2046, and it's approved by the state of Illinois, that course is.
Okay, and here's something that I got maybe you'd want to take a note of if you're if you have high school kids and you may be looking for scholarships for the fall.
Yeah.
The Springfield Diocesan Council of Catholic Women, an affiliate of the National Council of Catholic Women, will again offer four $500 diocesan leader scholarships to outstanding female high school seniors.
Ooh.
So for more information, if you'd be interested in a $500 scholarship, and believe me, every dime helps, call Mrs. Judy Holmes, or contact her at judyholmes1946@yahoo.com. Judy Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, 1946@yahoo.com, or call 618-639-4962.
618-639-4962. Great.
That it?
That's it, bud.
All right. Well, you know we're out of time anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's a good thing.
We had a good time today, you and I discussing the pro-life stuff, having Ed Smith in talking
about...
Yeah,
it's good seeing Ed.
It was. Having him talking about Habitat for Humanity, our gospel preview, and I think we'll close, Mark. I've got a prayer here, and it's from Priests for Life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's a prayer to end abortion. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the
Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord God, I thank you today for the gift of my life and the lives of all my brothers and sisters. I know there is nothing that destroys more life than abortion. Yet I rejoice that you have conquered death by the resurrection of your Son. I am ready to do my part in ending abortion. Today, I commit myself to never be silent, never be passive, never to forget the unborn. I commit myself to be active in the pro-life movement and never to stop defending life until all my brothers and sisters are protected and our nation once again becomes a nation with liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all. Through our Christ our Lord, amen.
Amen.
And remember, folks, life is winning.
Life in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Hey, that's all we got for this week on The Cradle and the Convert. Mark and Dan will be with you the next couple weeks as I'm going to be checking myself into
Betty Ford.
A resort.
All right. Now he's going out of the country, folks.
God bless y'all, and I'll talk to you soon.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.